I'm all confused. I'm like, what in the world's wrong with this school? You know what I'm saying? Make their kids do school at, you know, school camp. But they came up to me and they said, Brother Schwenke, would you get Brother Seeley, who was the principal, to cancel school on Thursday, give us a snow day? And I said, absolutely. I said, I'm against it, first of all, you having school, and I will do everything I can to get them to not have, make you have. So I got done preaching on Wednesday night, and I preached a message for about 15 minutes on snow and why snow ought to motivate a principal to cancel school even though there was no snow coming. And man, I hammered away on Mr. Seeley. Was the person, you know, S was that first letter. I talked about Seeley's, you know, and to get right with God and, you know, get rid of your school day. And all that to say, I'm really concerned about Brother Nate tomorrow night, so I want you to know that. Schwenke is a long name, so if you could make it nice and long and fiery, you know, fiery, and say a bunch of nice things about me, that would be wonderful. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 in your Bibles tonight, and verse number 5. The Bible says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that it's life-changing, it's powerful. And Father, I thank you that you desire to speak to us tonight through it. And I pray that you'd help me as I preach. Would you use me? Holy Ghost of God, I pray that you would work in every heart. And I pray that we would just not be hearers of the word, but may we be doers also. Father, I think about some folks tonight, Lord, they've got some things they need to deal with. And they've been putting it off this week, and they've been saying no to you, and they've not been yielding their life to you. I pray tonight that you would just break. Noah hopped in the boat with his family and his family alone. But you know what? He got his kids in the boat. And you know what? The greatest success, the greatest legacy a parent could ever leave, the greatest legacy a grandparent could ever leave was their children going on and doing greater things for the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder, when's the last time dad and mom, grandma and grandpa, hey, let me ask a teenager, when's the last time you witnessed to your friend in the public school? When's the last time you tried to lead them to Jesus Christ? When's the last time you carried your Bible to school and you loudly proclaimed that you were a child of God? When's the last time you were that testimony and you were that witness for Jesus Christ? When's the last time, friend, you had a desire to let your light shine for Jesus Christ? When's the last time you were soul conscious? Think about how they were concerned about his destination. They realized there was a real heaven. They realized there was a real hell. But I think, second of all, how they were concerned about his direction for life. You see, Grandmother Lois and Mother Eunice realized Timothy had a decision to make. His decision was either to go and live for the world like the Greek culture and probably his friends going up the way they were going, or a decision that he'd walk with Almighty God. Let me just say, my kids are at that crossroads in just a couple of years. You know, they're coming up to that age. Hey, which way are they going to go? By the way, your kids are, and grandkids are, hey, they've got to make a choice. Which way are they going to go? And there's going to come a day and age when they're out on their own, and they're going to have to decide which way they're going to go. Hey, the godly influences of our life, the godly testimony, the godly discipleship that ought to be taking place in the home ought to help our kids go on for the Lord Jesus Christ and live that life for Christ. I wonder, are you leaving a godly legacy for them? Are you leaving a godly path for them to follow? Are you, sir, are you, ma'am, are you an individual that is concerned about the direction of the next generation? Hey, when's the last time you tried to influence somebody for Christ? When's the last time you tried to take the Word of God and to disciple somebody? When's the last time we had that soul winner's mindset like the Apostle Paul and Timothy and Lois and Eunice? Hey, Paul said, when I think about you, Timothy, when I think about where you were at spiritually in the ministry, serving God, living for God, he said, I'm reminded, first of all, of a mom and a grandma that were sincere, or that were sincere in their commitment to Christ. Not only that, but they were soul conscious. Would you notice thirdly, though, in chapter number 3 and verse number 15, it says, and that from a child thou was known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Number 3, I see a mom and a grandma that were scripturally concrete. They were scripturally concrete. Paul said, Timothy, when I think about you, he said, from a child thou has known the Holy Scripture. We understand a child is a little toddler walking around in Pampers pull-ups. Hey, a little child is one crawling around playing with the little baby toys. We understand a child is a little kid that's just learning how to talk and learning how to say little words. A child, Timothy, from a little kid's age, from when you're just an infant, you started to learn the Word of God. And Timothy, that was past tense. Man, that's when you started. But you've continued learning your Bible. Hey, Timothy, it's been something that's been a part of your daily life for years. Hey, Timothy, you started back as a little kid and you've continued learning the Word of God. How did that start? There was a mom and a grandma that said, we're going to let the Bible impact and change our home. They built their home upon the Word of God. I wonder tonight, what's your home built on? What's my home built on? The Bible says, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Is Jesus Christ the foundation of your home? Is the Word of God the foundation of your home? Is the Bible the focus of your home? Understand, dear friend, SpongeBob does not need to be the focus of our home. Doesn't need to be the foundation of our home. Hey, Barney and Bob the Builder, and down the list we go, Dora the Explorer, they don't need to be the cornerstone of our home. The television does not need to be the foundation of our home. You say, preacher, what needs to be the foundation of our home? It's the Word of God. It's Jesus Christ. I wonder, friend, when's the last time the Bible was a part of your home? Hey, dads, I'm wondering, when's the last time you read your Bible with your family? When's the last time you sat them down for family devotions? You say, well, Brother Schwenke, I got little kids. I got little kids too, and let me just tell you, I don't read, you know, Leviticus and Chronicles with them, all right? I really don't. But you know, we have Bible time, and man, we open up the Bible storybook, and we'll go through, and we got different things that we'll do. Sometimes we'll act out the Bible story. Sometimes I'll have Josiah stand up there and preach the Bible storybook, you know, and he'll tell us the story of what's taking place. There's times when we'll sing together as a family. There's different ways to have family devotions. But you know what, Dad? The reality is, as a dad, it's my job to lead my family in the Word of God. And it's my job to take the Bible, and it's my job to read it and memorize it with them. It's my job to work with them. Think about my kids, and we're working right now. I'm memorizing Psalm 119. They just threw verse 8 right now, but man, we're working on it. And then we get around the family dinner table and we'll hold hands, and before we pray, man, we'll quote Psalm 119, 1 through 8, and we'll go through and word for word, and we'll work on it. We're working on memorizing the Word of God. Why? Because that's my job, to teach my children the Word of God. You know, I'm afraid there's many kids that have grown up in good Christian homes that not once in their teenage years and preteen years did Dad open the Word of God. Let me say, Dad, it's my job to disciple my kids. You know, I wonder, Dad, you got teenage kids. When's the last time you read your Bible through with them? I remember my grandpa, vivid memories of it when we were 5 and 6 years old. He'd call us all into the family room, and the fire would be blazing hot, and we'd be all gathered around, and Grandpa Swearingen would take the Word of God, and we would read chapter after chapter after chapter. As I understand, as a 5-year-old boy, I didn't understand what was going on. But you know what it was doing? It was showing me there was a grandpa that loved the Bible. And boy, he was reading it to his family, and his family was hearing the Word of God. I wonder, is the Word of God a part of your home? He said, Paul said, Timothy, from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures. He says in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good work. Hey, Timothy, your mom and your grandma, they were concerned about you spiritually. And so they surrounded you with the Word of God. I wonder tonight, friend, is the Bible a part of your life? Paul said, when I think about you, Timothy, here in this jail cell, getting ready to be executed, getting ready to be martyred for the cause of Christ, I think about your mom and your grandma, how they made a godly impact on your life. Why? Because number one, they were sincere in their commitment to Christ. There was no doubt about it. Hey, Timothy didn't wonder if Tuesday they were going to be the same on Saturday when they went out soul winning. No, they were consistent. Number two, they were soul conscious, concerned about Timothy's soul and his direction and destination for life. And number three, they were scripturally concrete. They built their home upon the Word of God. I wonder tonight, dear friend, are you making a godly impact on the next generation? Let's pray together. Father, you've convicted me tonight through the Word of God. As a dad, you've reminded me of my responsibilities. Father, it's my job to make a godly difference in my kids' lives and in the lives of others. And I pray tonight, Father, that you would have spoken to other hearts. I pray that we would be sincere in our commitment to Christ. Lord, I pray for one tonight that's playing the game, the hypocritical game, Lord, acting one way at church and another way at home. I pray tonight, Father, you'd break through and they would get right with you and they'd make lasting decisions for Christ. I pray for another, Lord, that's not soul conscious, Lord, not witnessing, not being the soul winner of the home they ought to be. Father, would you work there? May decisions be made. And Father, I pray that you'd also work in the area of the Word of God being the foundation for our home. Would you work, I pray, Father, in this invitation? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to say, Brother Schwanky, tonight, as you preached about making a godly impact on the next generation, God's convicted me. He's spoken to my heart. Maybe it's because I'm a fraud. I'm a fake, man. I'm not the real thing. I'm not sincere. Maybe it's the fact that I'm not soul conscious. Maybe I'm not scripturally concrete, not building my home on the Word of God. But tonight, God spoke in my heart, and I need to respond. Would you pray for me, Brother Schwanky? God spoke to my heart. Good. That's me, preacher. Good. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. I need to make some decisions. Great. Good. Good. You can put your hands down. Anybody else, preacher? That's me. God spoke to my heart tonight. Good. Good. Need to make some decisions. Good. Good. I wonder, lastly, would there be one that say, preacher, you talked about the destination of a soul. If one does not trust Christ to be their Savior, it's in a place called the lake of fire. It's a place called hell. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. There's never been a time in my life that I realized Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again. And I've never trusted Christ to be my Savior, but tonight I need to get that settled. I need to be saved. Preacher, would you pray for me tonight? I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. If that's you tonight, I won't embarrass you, but I would like to pray for you. Would you do me a favor? Would you slip your hand up? I want to embarrass you, but Brother Schwanky, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Good, I see that hand. Thank you. You can put that down. Anybody else, preacher? That's me. I'm not sure if I die today, I go to heaven. But I want to get that settled today. Would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? If you raised your hand, you're not sure you're on your way to heaven. Pastor Legault is going to be standing here in the front. If you're here tonight and you would like to get that settled, let me invite you to step out of your pew. Let me invite you to come down and say, Pastor Legault, that's me. I need to get that settled. Would you do that? Father, thank you for working tonight. Thank you for these that raised their hand. And Father, help us now to respond in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together and take our hymn book and turn to hymn number
223.
Hymn number 223 tonight. God spoke to your heart. Let me invite you to come. As we stand and sing hymn 223 tonight, the invitation is open.